Person of Bnei Sosker, a Kavod Chanukah. There's so much on Bnei Sosker on Chanukah. I mean, it's come out half the Sefer. Well, a third of the Sefer is on Chanukah. And it's difficult to select a couple of the pieces that are the most famous, perhaps, I think, some of my personal favorites, I guess. And I paid Samach also to make it more convenient with the photostatting for the people in the school. I paid Samach Hey, that should be the. I paid Samach Hey. It says, Yishakenim Nishiko Ispihu. So it's Chav Zayin and Bnei Sascha. You have it?
Yeah.
On the pages that you got, I mean, it's the third page, it says Samach Hey, the third page. Yishakenim and Nishiko Ispihu. Ki Toivim Doidecha Miyayin. In Shir HaShirim, Knesset Yisrael is asking Hashem to kiss us, the third page. Don't have? It's not from here, it's not from these. It's the second batch. Klal Yisrael is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for the kiss to return and to kiss us, as Rashi says, as he did by Kabbalah Torah, by Har Sinai, Yishakenim Nishiko Espihu. Then it says, L'reach Shmanecha Toivim, Shema Turak Shemecha, Ken Alomus Ahivucha, that the fragrance of the good oils of Hashem that poured the oil, that's anointing, the oil for anointing, and therefore the young maidens have loved you. Adkan. Yesh lidrash b'remiz al ner Chanukah. There's a very big yesod in what Chanukah is all about. He says, what's hinted here is the yontav of Chanukah. Dihine ha'nes de Chanukah kvar hoya b'gemar ha'nevuah. K'moshe kasavna le'el. The yontav of Chanukah was at the time when prophecy, when nevuah, had ended. It was at the time of the conclusion of the koch of nevuah. And that's a very significant thing to understand in what Chanukah is all about. That's what Chazal discuss, the difference between Chanukah and Purim, that Purim is a yontiv that is niton likosev, that is niton lichtoiv, that means Purim is a yontiv that is recorded. It's recorded for posterity in Megillas Esther. Masha'enik in Chanukah is the yontiv of Chanukah remains a yontiv. The Klai Yisrael has kept Baal Peh. It comes from the Torah Baal Peh. V'nasa ha'nez b'shemen. Ki shemen b'chol mokim sh'yipol v'nichnas. What's unusual about oil, and the reason that the nace took place, the miracle took place, stafka with oil, is because the way it is with oil, b'chol mokim sh'yipol v'nichnas, wherever a person is pouring out oil, hagam shuhurak mikli akli, even if you pour it from one kli into another kli, from one vessel into another vessel, hine nishar roisha, there remains something of the oil. There remains a film, some residue of the original oil in the jar. You can't spill it all out. There's something that always remains of a residue that remains. Vareishim enim estali. K'moy chayin hu ma shomer chazal, loizoza shchina ad she osta roishim. The fascinating lashon of chazal, that the shchina, when the shchina departs from some place, when Hashem's divine presence leaves somewhere, it doesn't leave entirely. There always remains a residue. There remains a roshim of the shechina that was once in that place. As the Svarim explained this, they knew if we saw in Parshas Vayetze, you'd see a tzaddik or it's a roshim. When a tzaddik, there it's very, very, very concealed and very hidden. You're right. It's a big question by Har Sinai. But it's for sure there's something there that remains as well. the idea, the concept of when the tzaddik leaves the place, so the yitzias tzaddik min ha'ir, oisa roishem, it doesn't just mean that it makes an impression upon the people, upon the population of that city who feel the absence of the tzaddik. The Svarim explained that yitzias tzaddik min ha'ir, oisa roishem, means that when a tzaddik leaves, he doesn't leave entirely. There's something of that tzaddik that remains behind in that place. That's why we have many stories. There's a story about the Rebbe Reb Zushia, in good ways and in bad ways. It's not just the Shechina, in a positive way, when there was once Kedusha in a certain place, like you know that the Rebbe Reb Zushia would be walking someplace. We have stories like this, that he'd be in a certain place in the middle of nowhere and he'd want to daven over there. And his brother, the Rebbe Elimelech, would ask, "My hi, what's over here?" So the Rebbe Zushi would say that 732 years ago, in Mar Cheshvin, in this place, there was a real tzaddik that davened a fine mincha. You know, and the Rebbe Zushi was sensitive to this. But there's a maisa that's already brought down in the Svarim from a long time ago. You know, the Rebbe Zushi and his brother is an example of how it's not only does the Shechina leave a Roshim, but Tumah leaves a Roshim, and purity leaves a Roshim as well, because Zelu Mazel, one against the other. Hashem made the world in such a way that the same way that a Roshim is left by Kedusha, that Kedusha, holiness, leaves an imprint. There's a residue of holiness that remains behind, so too there's a residue of impurity, of Tumah that remains behind. And not only that, but there are great tzaddikim that they can already feel that. They could feel the presence of Kedusha, of Tumah, of the Shechina, Lahavdil, of the Koich of Tumah, of impurity, even before it comes to that place. Like, for instance, when Avraham Avinu was keeping Pesach before, or we have the, which is the Inyan of the Or Chozer, the returning light, and so on, or you find also that a frightening thing that's found in one of the Svarim that I saw a long time ago, that the Rebbe Reb Zushi and his brother, the Rebbe Elimelech, used to wander from town to town, and they did all kinds of mysterious things, and brought many people to do tshuva, to come back to Hashem. And they had a kabbalah, they accept upon themselves never to stay two nights in the same place. They never slept in the same place twice. They used to travel, schlep from one place to the other, doing all kinds of tikkunim, fixing things. And this brought down to the Svarim that one night they were in a certain place, and they went to lie down in the shul there, where the poor people were. And all of a sudden the Rebbe Zushi sat up and he started to scream, and he says, "We're not staying here. We can't spend the night over here." And it was freezing cold winter night, and the Rebbe Melech knew that his brother was unpredictable. So the Rebbe Melech asked, "What is it, Zushi?" So he said that there's going to be here such a chorban, such a tumah that there wasn't since the time of creation. And that was Ushpitzin in Auschwitz. And that's brought down the Svarim from before. You can look, that's brought down from before there. It was ever Ushpitzin. It was a beautiful Jewish community in Auschwitz, Ushpitzin. And that was where the Rebbe Zushi refused to spend the night. He said, since the time of creation, there's never been in the world. There's never been such a, like the kind of tumah that's going to be in this place." So the roshim, the impression, is something that is felt before, and something that is felt after. And this is the mystery of Lozoza Shechina Acha Oster Roshim. Vina as kvar higias mana hester v'stalkus dibra Shechina pel peim and neviim. When it was time for Chanukah, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, prophecy had departed, had left. There was no longer Nevuah. And Hashem was no longer communicating with the Nevi'im, pe'al pe', mouth to mouth. V'hinei, l'val yachshuvu Yisrael chas v'sholom avdu tikvoseinu. Now at that time, it's hard for us to imagine the kind of yeyush, the type of despair that the people felt. We're not used to Nevuah, we're not used to prophecy, we don't know what that means. I know we feel, after so many years, the absence of Rav Moshe Feinstein. We feel the absence of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, of the Tzaddikim, of the Satmar, of the Lubavitch Rebbe, of great Tzaddikim. We feel the absence in a very profound way. Those Jews who are struggling to find their way to Hashem feel the absence of these Tzaddikim in a terrible way. Could we imagine what it was when Yishai Hanavi, Yirmi Hanavi, and then when all of Nevuah, the power of Nevuah left Klai Yisrael, Klai Yisrael felt mamish abandoned. Like we spoke about this past Shabbos. The Jewish people felt lost and abandoned. Hashem was no longer talking to them. So, Tishbav. Well, you're talking about this is after the Churban Bayis Sheni, or this is before the Churban Bayis Sheni, but it's during the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, the period already, which is after the, it's after the Histalkus of Nevuah, it's when prophecy already left, and the process it was a matter of time till there would be the Churban Bayis Sheni. This, of course, was during the time of the Bayis Sheni when Hanukkah took place. So we felt that we had lost hope. So in order that we shouldn't lose hope, the miracle of Chanukah took place dafka with oil. Why? Because oil leaves an impression, leaves a residue that no matter what you do, it doesn't leave. There's always something that remains behind of the oil. This is a very deep concept. We've spoken about it before over the years. That when the neshama, when the soul leaves the body, when the soul leaves a body upon a person's death, so, according to the Chazal, when the neshama leaves, it doesn't leave entirely. And here is also the drosha of Yitzias Tzadik Menheir Oyser Oyshem. When the tzadik leaves, when the neshama, the soul, is taken away from the body, which is death, so the neshama, the soul, leaves in the body a reshimu, some impression, some residue of spirituality. And from that havla de garmi, from there dafka comes tchias ameisim. Just like in all of creation, Eliyahu Hanavi is that part of the Jewish people that never died. Something must remain in order to build. The only time Yesh Me'ayin ever took place, something from nothing was creation. Ever since creation, the Bria functions by way of Yesh Me'ayin, something from something. So, the same way that when any person dies, when the neshama leaves, something remains behind on the bones. It's brought down in one particular place, one particular bone, I'm not going to get into that right now, it's the Indian of the Luz, that it remains behind, that's because there is something that's undetectable, certainly not by any microscope, but there's something that remains, even if the bone's crushed or burnt, chalila, deteriorates, there's something that remains in this physical world of the neshama, of the soul, and from that little bit that remains, that little pach echad shel shemen, that little bit of oil, the residue of spirituality that remains, from that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring the dead back to life. And that's why Eliyahu Hanavi is referred to in the Sfarim, particularly and the writings of the Kohen from Lublin, where Eliyahu Hanavi is for Klai Yisrael, that part of Klai Yisrael that can never die. And that's why the one who is Mavasar, called Mavasar Va'omer, the one who brings in the time of Mashiach Tzidkenu, that will lead to the period of Tchias HaMesim, is Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, Eliyahu Hanavi is the union of Heshev Lev, Ovis Abonim Lev, Bonim Alavoisim, the restoration of life. The koach of tchiyah, of revival, comes from Eliyahu Hanavi, because Eliyahu Hanavi never, ever completely died. So something remains of Eliyahu Hanavi in the physical world, from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild all of Knesset Yisrael, from Eliyahu Hanavi. Very good. The vision of Yechezkel HaNavi, now remember, the reason that that's especially good to mention at this time, is one of the most famous nevuahs at the beginning of the nevuah in Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, and Yechezkel, of the dry bones that were brought back to life. That you have to remember that nevuah of Yechezkel HaNavi was said to people who had left after the Churban Bayis Rishon, after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, who felt totally lost. That's what the Zohar says, that Davka to that generation, Hashem showed the most amazing Nevuah of Yecheskel, of the Merkava, of the chariot, because the people needed encouragement. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So at that time, the vision of the Atzomas HaYaveshes, of the dry bones that were brought back to life, that there was still something of the Havlu de Garmi, some vapor, some very, very subtle vapor that was left inside those bones, and from that vapor, Kadosh Baruch Hu revived those dead bones. And that's why the way that the Navi describes the revival of the bones in the place of Dur was, that it's frightening. It's frightening the way that it's described, but how the flesh was growing in the sinews, how the body was beginning to, the flesh was forming and so on, until it became a full form of a human being. And that was built from one step to the other, the reconstruction of those Atzomus Yaveshus, which will take place with Tchias HaMeisim. And all of this happens, he says, Ayidei HaSharis HaRishimu Tiyat Tchias HaMeisim V'hinei K'moichei. Next page. Hera Hashem Yisbarach Nefloiso. The same way Hashem Yisbarach showed His wonders. Ayidei HaShem En Ha'oiser HaShem. That's why the miracle of Chanukah. And remember, Chanukah is the last Yontiv that we have. Chanukah is the last Yontiv that the Jewish people received. And it was a Yontiv that took place after there was no longer prophecy. So there was a question, we'll get Mitzvah to the next piece, we'll see, there was a question, Bechlal, can we even make this into a Yontiv? They waited Lashana Acheres, right? The Gemara says they waited until the following year. They were unsure of themselves. The fact that they found that Shem and that oil meant to Klal Yisrael, that despite the fact that all seems to have been lost, all has been taken, nothing remains of our former glory, of that attachment to Hashem and the presence of Nevuah, that they were wrong. The fact that the Nes took place with oil davka, that from the remaining oil, a miracle took place for the Jewish people, to indicate, to show Klal Yisrael, to demonstrate clearly, that just like oil, that can never be completely, utterly removed, but there's something of a residue, a very subtle little drop that remains behind in the jar, so to Klal Yisrael minoisa kankanim, that the Jewish people retain some koach of prophecy. Hanach lahem liyisraelim lo neviim heim b'nei neviim heim. Right? The Gemara says that the Jewish people, if they're not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. And the Rebbe from Piazetzna, the Eish Kodesh, says the meaning of b'nei neviim, hanach lahem liyisraelim lo neviim heim b'nei neviim heim. What's our chiddush to say that we're the descendants of prophets? When the Gemara used that expression that we're b'nei neviim, it was used in the context of a halachic discussion in the Gemara, where it wasn't clear what the anhog should be in Eretz Yisrael regarding the halacha of when Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, what to do with the knives. Are you allowed to carry the knife for Korban Pesach? What happens if someone didn't have his knife? You need to take it to Beis HaMikdash. And this was a halacha when Hillel came from Bavel, it had to be decided what to do. And the decision was based upon Hanach Lehem Yisrael, and like Nevi'im Heim B'nei Nevi'im Heim. Let's go out and see what the Jews do, what the Alta Yidden, what the old Jews, what they do. Why? Because in Loin Neviim Heim, if they're not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. So to say that only means that we have Yichus, that we come from Neviim, therefore we have an extra sense of what's right, it's difficult to say that we have a Yichus, that we're B'nai Neviim. The fact that our ancestors were Neviim does not increase the chances that we are going to know what to do under circumstances when the Chachamim were at a loss. So the Piazetzna explains that Hanach Lehem Yisrael and Le'Nevim Heim B'nei Nevim Heim, that every Jew is called a Ben Novi, the same way that someone who learns Torah is called a Ben Torah. What does it mean to be a Ben Torah? A Ben Torah means someone that's attached to Torah, that even when he leaves the yeshiva, even when he's not sitting by the Gemara, so Ben Torah doesn't mean when the guy's sitting in yeshiva. It's a yeshiva bach, or a yeshiva aman, a yeshiva man, a yungalai. He's in yeshiva. A ben Torah is a person, the Pizasna says, that when he's far from yeshiva, it goes with him. He takes the yeshiva with him wherever he goes. That's a ben Torah, that's a bas Torah. That a person who learns a halach, who learns a din, who learns a sefer, no matter where that person goes in life, the residue, the reshimu of that remains. The Jewish people are B'nai Nevi'im, which means that doesn't mean that we just come from Nevi'im. It means that when Nevuah left us, it didn't leave us entirely. Like a Ben Torah who leaves Yeshiva, remains a Ben Torah at work. A Ben Novi is a person who lives in the physical world, but has the capacity, has within him always the capacity for something that can't be explained, that can't be proven, that can't be shown in a mathematical equation. It's something mysterious that's inside each and every one of us. That's the reshimu, that's the residue of Nevu, of prophecy, that each one of us has. Akedekach, that there's such a thing in halach of hanach lehem liyisrael, we can't use such a thing nowadays. But hanach lehem liyisrael, nevi mehebnei, they know what to do. Yidden know what's right. They know what's right. If you look at Moshe Feinstein's introduction to his tshuvas, no question, like, how do you become the posek hador? Rav Moshe is trying to explain, like, how do I come off writing a sefer like this? Right? So how do you become a posek hador? Will you apply or something? For a posek hador, you know, what do you do to become posek hador? It's not something that one can apply for. Rav Moshe ran away from that. It wasn't something Rav Moshe wanted. A person becomes a posek hador because Klal Yisrael knows. The Jewish people know that Rav Moshe was the one who had to do that. Or they knew that the Chazon Ish was that person. They knew. How? What's the raya? You know, like, you know, when the kids in yeshiva or my son will say to me, that they'll look at some stories of tzaddikim and they'll say, you know, who was greater? You know, the Chavos Chaim, Reb Chaim Eiser. I mean, you hear questions like that, I'm afraid to even hear the question, the end of the question, who's greater? What do we know about anything? We don't know about anything. We don't understand. Klal Yisrael, though, knows. The Jewish people know who Rav Moshe was. They knew. As much as Rav Moshe was hiding in his apartment on FDR Drive, and he didn't want anybody in the world to see him, Klal Yisrael found him. And they knew that they could rely on that man. They knew. So how come this one's a Pesach? How come Rav Shlomo Zalman was a Pesach? Where did it come to... You know, nowadays, Yibor L'chaim Tovim, that Rabbi Avad Yosef is such a big poison. There's a hargosha that the Jewish people have, which comes from the reshimu of our prophecy, to recognize greatness. To recognize greatness. That's why the Nes took place with the Shemen, when the Jewish people felt that the lights were out, that all was finished, there's no hope, we have nothing left. L'hairis agam sh'nistalik dibra nevuah. The B'nai Soska says to show that even though the words of prophecy have left from the mouths of the Nevi'im, Shnistalik Dibra HaNevu'im and HaNevi'im, Im Kol Zeh Nishar B'Yadei Nereshimu, nevertheless there remains behind the Reshimu, behind the Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. V'ha'or ha'hu ha'yim mi'ha'oris ha'atari sh'enignus ba'or ki toiv v'or ha'hu yesh karech l'habit mi'saif alam ha'tsaifu k'vay ha'rachnu b'zeh v'yinudabu mi'sa Hashem. That's really not for now. He has a whole separate section on the light of the Chanukah menorah being the or ha'gonuz. Whenever you light the Chanukah menorah al pi halacha and you look at those candles, you're looking at something that remains of the light, the hidden light of creation. That Hashem, with which Hashem created the world, that light from the beginning of time, that was too great and too awesome to be used because of the presence of the wicked, and the light was therefore hidden, and that light is hidden, the candles of Chanukah, in Torah, the Baal Shem Tov said in Torah, that's why there are 36 candles, 36 Chanukah candles, the box says 44 because that's the Shamas. There are 36 Chanukah candles. You got your box in the mail, I'm sure by now. Huh? So there are 36 Chanukah candles. Why? Because 36 are the hours that Adam HaRishon used that hidden light. To make a simple cheshbon, that's the time that from which Adam HaRishon was created through Shabbos was 36 hours. 12 on Friday, then another 24 Shabbos, 36. He had the Oragon as the hidden light for 36 hours. That's why there are 36 candles of Hanukkah, because there are 36 hours that the world had access to the hidden light. And that's why there are 36 Masechtos and Torah Shabbat Pen, Shas. Because the 36 mechsechtes of Torah Shabbal Peh correspond to the 36 hidden tzaddikim, and the 36 in each generation, and the 36 hidden, the 36 hours of the Or HaGonuz. And that's why Leia Imenu is the Indian of Hanukkah. Leia, who is the Alma Deskasi, who is the world of concealment, because Leia's name equals 36, is a Gematria Leia. And all of that, the number 36, which means concealment, it means that which is hidden, and it's not understood. The light of Hanukkah is from the Ur HaGodness, from that time of creation. And therefore, he says that Shuhun, that's why we find that Dafka is at the time, beginning with Hanukkah, as all the Sfarim discussed, that beginning with Hanukkah, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, the power of the oral Torah began to burst forth in the most amazing, remarkable way, Dafka from that time of Hanukkah. It was that from Torah Shebaal Peh, was the fire of Torah Shebaal Peh began to burn in the most amazing way, Dafka from that time. Because Hanukkah can't be written. Hanukkah is not written. Hanukkah is felt. Hanukkah is experienced in the Ruach HaKodesh of Klal Yisrael, which comes from the hidden light, which we can't see anymore, but somehow the Jewish people who are Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im sense its presence. We sense its presence. So he says, Shuv Noig B'chol Eis Ad Yemois HaMashiach, Shal Yidei HaRishimu Yetchias HaMeis HaMetoshuv HaNevuah, B'yeses Seis Kedachsiv, B'novu B'neichem B'bnei Seichem. When it says in the book of Yoel that at the end of time that our sons and daughters will say Nevuah, will say prophecy, will become prophets. So the Rebbe is explaining it's because of that residue of Nevuah that it was hidden in the hidden light of the oil of the Nes of Hanukkah, of the miracle of Hanukkah, that through that, with Tchias HaMesim, prophecy, the power of prophecy will be revived. The Koch of Nevuah will be revived from that little bit of Ruach HaKodesh, the remain that's symbolized by the oil that remained after prophecy left. After prophecy left, there remains some oil. There remains an extra sense that Klal Yisrael has of Nevuah, which is called Ruach HaKodesh. Afal Pisha Nitla Nevuah Men HaNeviim, even though we no longer have prophecy, Adayim Mishtamshim Babaskol, we have other koiches, we have other prophetic powers, different levels of prophetic powers that remain within Klal Yisrael's consciousness or subconsciousness. And from those koiches that we have, Mishtamshim Bevaskol, that we're able to pick up on certain frequencies, from the tzaddikim, the gedolim, obviously, to the extent that a person's body is refined, that the person's physical life is purified, to that extent, he becomes sensitive to that ruchnis, that spirituality that's within. If a person's physical life is unrefined, so it's very, very hard for him. There's too much stuff mixed in and too much junk. It's very hard to tune into that. But the tzaddikim who are mishtamshim bevaskol, who are able to pick up that koch of Ruach HaKodesh, it's a tzaddikim, even till our days, lo amun yisrael, that they're tzaddikim that have a koch of Ruach HaKodesh. There's a power of Ruach HaKodesh. And that's the residue of Nevuah. And from that little bit, that's left in Klal Yisrael of Ruach HaKodesh, the Nevuah will be reconstructed. The power of prophecy is going to be revived. Ad kedei kach, that our children will be, that the Navi says, that v'novu b'neichem v'neisechem, that they will say prophecy, our children will be able to say Nevuah. V'zeu sheyesh lidvas v'posuk maimer knesses Yisrael yishakeinim nishiko espiyu. Now we could have a deeper understanding of the Jewish people's request from Hashem and Shir Hashirim. Hashem, kiss me with the kisses of your lips, of your mouth. Yishakeinim nishiko espiyu. Achaka she'ezgoid yishakeinim nishiko espiyu. Dibur pel per kimiozim ikedim. We're waiting the same way that the time the Torah was given. Hashem mamish spoke to us mouth to mouth, which is the mystery of the neshik of the kiss. When Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im pel per adababoy panim al panim, Hashem, that's called a kiss. The kiss means with his mamish nevuah, mouth to mouth. When Hashem's mouth connected to the mouth of the Nevi'im, who were able to utter prophecies from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. So we're asking Hashem, Yishakeinim and Neshiko Yispiyu, Hashem, we await, we long for that day when prophecy will be restored. When we will be able to connect to you in that way of peh el peh, of mouth to mouth, in the way of a kiss of a Neshika. Ki toivim doidecha miyayin. Umuftach ani bezeh. I am certain, the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael says, we are certain that this will happen again. We are absolutely convinced that we will have this experience in the future, that Hashem will kiss us and will have Nevuah, will have prophecy. Why? So the pasuk continues, L'reach shmanecha tovim, because we are able to still experience the fragrant smell of your good oil. Reach hashmanim heima tovim li. Reach, that we know that there's going to be nevuah again because we can still pick up the smell, the scent of the shemen, of the oil. Haremez masha sisi li begmar hanevuah. And if you look at the note that the Rebbe wrote, L'reach shiya b'yamei Mashiach ve'erichai, etc., v'zeu shmanecha toivim, it says in the Nevuah of Yishai Hanavi, which the Gemara explains that the Mashiach will have the power of Marach V'doyin, that means Mashiach will be able to judge, it says in the Pasuk in Navi, that Mashiach will be able to judge by smelling. Reuven and Shimon are going to come to Mashiach Tzakeinu, this will have a tain against that one. And how that could be when Mashiach comes, it's a whole different discussion. But there'll be a din, and it says that Mashiach, the Hericha Yiras Hashem, will be able to smell and to know the truth by smelling. What is the koich, that the ability to smell? So the Rebbe says this is the hint of the Reach Shmanecha Toivim, that the power of Mashiach's Nevuah is a revival of that koich of the scent, the smell, the ability that the Jewish people have to sense with their Ruach HaKodesh, something that's beyond the physical world. And in Mashiach, that will be completely revived. Therefore, it's called the ability to smell the oil. Mashiach means the one who's Mashuach, the one who's anointed with the oil. Who's anointed with the oil. That's the whole meaning of Hashemen. Hashemen is the letters Neshama. Hashemen, the oil, is the letters Neshama. The Shmoyne, Hashemen is the letters Shmoyne, it was the 8 days of Hanukkah. Hashemen, Neshama, it's all the same inyan. Is the Neshama of Klal Yisrael that remains in the absence of Nevuah, that the residue of that Kedusha remains. So he says, Reach Hashman Himatovimli, when the Pasuk, L'reach Shmanecha, how do we know that Hashem's going to kiss us, that He's going to give us once again the power of prophecy, mouth to mouth, a kiss? Because in the meantime, we have the guarantee of that jar of oil that was found by Chanukah. The oil that means to us that in the absence of everything else, there remains behind that oil, that residue of Nevuah. And that's the Ruach HaKodesh that we have. Zareach toiv li lahariz k'may shemen turak shemecha k'may shemen hamurak, that spilled, that is poured. El eizem akam. That's what means shemen turak shemecha. Your name is like the good oil that is anointed, that is being poured. Why is Hashem's good name? Is we able to sense Hashem? We are able to have a deeper sense of the presence of Hashem in this world because the Jewish people live in that way of the nes of Chanukah, of the oil that remains, that was poured from the jar, but something remains behind. K'may shemen hamurak al ezer malkam nisharoishem, a remnant, the residue remains. K'may chayin shimcha medarbi, so to Hashem, your name that speaks within me, b'nevuah, hishar bi roishem, it left within each and every Jew, a roishem. Even though nevuah is emptied out of us, there remains a little bit of a nevuah in each Jew. Al kain therefore, lo me sahivucha, the young maidens love you. Ki mechakim loshuv leisonam. The idea of the young maidens means that the Jewish people are waiting with hope to be restored to our youth, to our vibrancy, to our health, to start again, to begin. We are waiting to return to our previous strength of prophecy. He says, now you will see. One of the beautiful things about the B'nai Sosa Svarim is that although the B'nai Sosa will often use Rosh HaTevis and Gematrias, numerical values, and all kinds of hints,
It is never at the expense of the Yesod. You'll find certain Sfarim that they say wild and fascinating gematrias and all kinds of cute, you know, different tricks with the words. But you come out from the piece wondering what exactly was the great message that I received, other than the fact that that we believe that there are hints in every pasuk. But with the Bnei Sosko, it's never like that. Bnei Sosko, the Yesod is the Yesod. Like, we just learned a very powerful, important Yesod in the Vua, about prophecy, about Teresh Baal Peh, about why the miracle happened with oil, about what Chanukah is all about, and so on. And then what the Bnei Sosko will do is that, like a little delicious dessert at the end. It's never the Yesod of Gematria. It's always as a dessert, something pleasant to just tie it together. He never bases it upon Gematrias. And that's what we did last week also, with Neis Gondel HaYasham, with Goshen, the letters of the dreidel. That was just an amazing thing to top it off. But it would have been delicious without that. It was a full course meal. It's only that the dessert is added on, the sweet thing at the end. So here's for this piece. V'hina tirem is nochen. We could see a correct hint. He says, L'reach shmanecha tovim. Those first three letters, that by the way also have significance of the Kabbalah, which he doesn't go into during this piece. But L'reach shmanecha tovim, those three letters, Lamed Shintes, Reshetavis Minyan Ner Chanukah. Those three letters equal exactly the Gematria Ner Chanukah. V'tira Ot. And not only that, V'hini L'fima Shekosavti Al Pidivre Chazal, Choshech Zu Malchus Yovan, that the darkness at the time of creation, which we've spoken about many times, that the four kingdoms are alluded to at the very beginning of creation, V'ha'aretz ha'isa tohu v'avohu, v'choshech al pnei sahom. So those are the four kingdoms. And the kingdom of choshech, of darkness, is Greece, is Yavan. Choshech is the letter shachach, to forget, la'ashkichem tarisecha, to cause our awareness of Torah to be darkened. Choshech is shachowach, to forget. And the malchus of forgetfulness is Greece. In other words, Chanukah means to remember. Chanukah means to hold on to that little bit of oil that remains in the absence of prophecy, to remember that when you feel something inside of you that tells you to be a good Jew, that comes from that little bit of oil that remains behind after prophecy left. Even though it makes no sense, a person says, why should I be a good Jew? The Baruch Shalom did this to me, did that to me, did that. And you have and all the different reasons why I shouldn't believe, why I shouldn't keep mitzvahs, and there's something that's still nagging you to come back to shul, to come back to a yontiv, to come back to a tefillin and so on a Shabbos. Where does that nagging come from? It comes from the Shem and Turak Shemecha. Even after you poured out from yourself all the stuff that remains a little bit behind, that you remember despite everything. The Indian of Yavin is darkness. It means to forget, to eradicate, to erase, to remove the residue. That's what Yavin wanted to do. That's what Greece wants to do. And therefore, as he spoke about last week, this is a very, very common theme throughout his writings regarding Chanukah. In general, the Bnei Sosko is one of the most outspoken enemies of secular studies. At this time, you have to realize what was happening in Europe and who the Bnei Sosko was talking to. The Bnei Sosko hardly will go a page without screaming about Chochmas Chitzonius, about secular education, and so on. So he says that Greece was trying to cause us to forget, and is still trying to cause us to forget the Torah by replacing the Torah Chalila with outside wisdom. With outside wisdom. That's what he says. Choshech zu Malchus Yovan is the kingdom of Greece. Shebikshu lahagbir chachmas chitzonis. Because the whole nature of Greece, the whole desire of Greece, was to strengthen the power and the energy and the presence of external wisdom. Shiksilus, which is foolishness. Haksil b'choshech holeich. It says, Shlomo HaMelech says, the fool walks in darkness. Haksil b'choshech holeich. Choshech means that the representatives of Yavin have the most doctorates. The most doctorates. If you want to know some of the greatest fools that ever lived, some of them with the longest row of degrees after the name, some of the biggest fools that ever lived. Some of the biggest fools, Adavka, the ones with the longest things after their names. Why? Because Ksil b'choshech holech. The fool walks in the darkness of Greece. The darkness of Greece means that he thinks that he's going to find truth in Athens, not in Yerushalayim. He thinks that he's going to find truth in the library, not in the Bais Medrash. That doesn't mean to say that there isn't truth to be found, there isn't wisdom to be found among the nations, Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. But that's only, as we know, as a very humble maidservant of Torah, not what Yovan was seeking. Yovan was seeking to make Chalil the Torah a maidservant of secular wisdom. And there are Jews, there are some Jews even now that wear yarmulke and keep Shabbos that have a similar idea in terms of their priorities of what's more important, Torah or secular wisdom, or secular studies. Ulevatel chochma ha'amitis chochma satayr, they were seeking to eradicate the Torah that's true. Al-kein nikra malchus yovan choshech. Therefore, the kingdom of Greece is called darkness. Ksil b'choshech, like the fool walks in darkness. There weren't too many people at the time of Aristotle or the time of Plato who would have called him fools. You know that the Rambam respected the intelligence of Aristotle in particular. He respected his intelligence. The point of Nesos is making is not that these were people that did well in their SATs. That's not the point that they were stupid. They weren't stupid. He's saying Davke Ksil b'choshech ha'lech. A person, the fool is the one who is seeking truth in a place of darkness. They were brilliant people. They were brilliant people. And in proportion to their brilliance, they were fools. A smart person should know better where to find wisdom. And those who were seeking wisdom in places of darkness. That's the meaning of Ksil b'choshech ha'lech. Where am I going to find the truth? Where am I going to find the truth? I once mentioned to you that there was, I remember when I used to go, years ago, when I was in yeshiva, there was a fellow there was a guy by the name of Bloom, a Jewish guy that stood outside the yeshiva. You know what I'm talking about, Yehuda? Remember, he used to hand out all these papers. He tried to prove, based upon Yankee scores since the beginning of the century, that he was God. He had all kinds of gematrias to prove that he was God. All right, so this guy was they say that he was formerly in Princeton, in one of the good schools. He was a math professor, and something went wrong. He was hoping for a chairmanship. He lost his mind, and instead he decided to become God. And he was a crazy baseball fan. He had all kinds of calculations and papers. He used to give out stacks of papers, like the crazy things, bizarre things, that it was ridiculous. So here you have a person who felt that the greatest mystery and the greatest secret of man's existence, of the universe, is to be found in Yankee scores. I mean, and you'll find that any person that has his ASIC, his Indian, if you talk to someone who has spent his whole life studying butterflies, I hope nobody hears. Has anybody been doing that? Because I don't want to insult you. I'm always nervous. All right, so that's what nobody has done. But and I'm not saying it's not a noble thing. Butterflies are what? Butterflies are nice. So, but you have a person who spends his whole life is studying butterflies. Again, I'm not ridiculing people who are pursuing to understand the Baruch Shalom as well. What I'm saying is that if you talk to that person, very often you find that the person that all the mysteries of life have to be answered after through the butterfly. Like I've mentioned many times in the shul, there's a very famous story that they say about Professor Eddington, who was one of Einstein's greatest talmidim, that I like to repeat because it's such a good story. That this professor was a brilliant, brilliant man. He was one of the biggest talmidim of Einstein. He was a genius, and he was also a devout Christian. And he was asked to deliver a paper on religion and science. I don't remember which university, one of the Chashuva universities in England. He was delivering a paper, giving a speech, and they came, all the galach and the priests, and it was a Chashuva thing. And from what I heard was that he got up there and he said one thing. He said that there was once a fellow that lost his keys, and he was looking around on the corner in the city, but it was a street lamp, and he was looking by the street lamp, and some nice fellow passed by and said, Did you lose something? You know, you see somebody snooping around. Did you lose something? He says, yes. What, did you lose? I lost my key. So then he asked another brilliant question. Another guy, the nice guy, asked, did you lose them here? He was like, did you lose them here? So did you lose them here? So he said, actually, no, I didn't lose them here. I live around 2 miles away. I was playing with my kids. I lost them in the backyard when I was playing with the children. Right. So then why are you looking over here? So he says, well, this is the nearest lamppost. Right. So Professor Eddington said, This is all the scientists assume that God is to be found. The chemist insists that God will be found in chemistry. And the microbiologist says, well, the question of whether God exists or doesn't exist must somehow be found in microbiology. And that guy Bloom, who was walking around with papers, felt that it must be found in Yankee scores. That was his Indian. I mean, everybody has their thing. So that was his thing. And Professor Huntington said, and when in truth, religion is to be found in your own backyard in that darkness of what you don't understand. What doesn't, it's not clear to you. I mean, he said it in a much more beautiful, and then he walked away. That's what he just walked away. That was the whole thing. And everybody's there with their pads and notes, they're going to write a book and this, and he just said this. And that was, what are you asking me, science and religion? It's not Akasha. You want to find answers in science, or you want to prove that religion is wrong or it's right from that subject that you feel most comfortable with. And the person that reads Shakespeare's whole life will try to understand, did Shakespeare believe, does God exist? If Shakespeare believed in God, didn't believe in God? You know, so that's how we look at things. So that inclination to create a lamppost and to try to find truth under your own lamppost, that comes from Greece, the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness, it's interesting, it's Dafka, the most enlightened people in the world. The Greeks were the most enlightened people in the world, and they're called the kingdom of darkness. If you would pick the kingdom of darkness, you might want to say it was Dafka. You would say Bavel, basically. Or you could say that in Persia they were steeped in all kinds of bizarre religious practices and so on. You maybe want to say the Roman Empire. But Greece was enlightened. The light was of her own lamppost. That's the light of Greece. Wisdom, true wisdom, Torah is called light. Chochmas Adam Tayir Panav. That's why it says the wisdom of a person illuminates his face. Al Kain Be'esa Yeshua. Therefore, we find throughout Tanakh expressions for salvation. Hey, Zarach Bechayshech Orla Yisharim. There was shining in the darkness a light for the righteous. So these are all these lashonis in Tanakh that use light to describe understanding and wisdom. The Hera Hashem Yisbarach Nefloisav LeYehudim Haisa Oira. Gil Sester. And Chazal say, what does it mean that the Jews had light? Zutar. The light means that they had Torah. B'menorah HaNesuna B'dorim. And we know that the light of the world came from the menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. And that menorah was situated Bedorim in the south. And we know therefore, if one is seeking wisdom, he inclines himself, he turns towards the south. Kitzad HaDorim Hu Tomid Or, southern exposure, which is lit up, which is bright. I feel it be Yom HaKtzorim, even on those days that are short, it's the southern part which is most illuminated. Because that's the place of the menorah. V'nei tira malchus yovan, toikif memshaltam letzadat zofan. The kingdom of the north is Greece, which is darkness. Shutomid choyshech, which is always dark. V'lo ur. I feel it be Yom HaRuchim, even the long days. The herakash broch anes b'shem, herayim is the chachma. That's why the miracle of Chana took place with oil, because oil is a hint for chachma, for wisdom. Kol makom sheshem and zayis mosi shama chachma mitzuyah. Chazal say wherever there's shem and zayis, there's wisdom. Therefore, if a person has a dream, the Gemara says in the ninth paragraph of Brachos, if you have a dream and you see oil, you see in the dream shem, and it's a siman of chachma, it's a siman of wisdom, of understanding, of intelligence. Kamesh adorshel, the Gemara says the menachas and viyishlach yoyif tekua isha chachama. That when the Navi was seeking that wise, that woman of wisdom, it was Davk in the territory of Asher. Why? Because Asher Shmeina Lachmo. Because the place of olive oil was the territory of Asher. We saw that when we went there to sell, right? The olive groves, the olive that in the territory of Shevet Asher is Asher Shmeina Lachmo. So when the Navi was seeking out that wise woman, it was Dafka, the messenger was sent to the area of Asher, to that place of Tekua Isha Chachamaki, Tekua Alpha L'Shem, and it was a place where Shemun was being, olive oil was being produced, was being processed. The olive presses were in Tekua. Isha Chachama. Yeah. Hine Taskil Arem is Reposak Anal. Therefore, we find the hint at the end of these words also. Not just at the beginning. The first three letters, Lerech Shemenechatovim, Lamed Shin Tes, are the Rosh Tevis equals the Gematria Nechanik. And the last letters, L'reach shmanecha tovim, hine soifei tevas chacham. The last three letters spell chacham. Vem tsoi ha'oisius, the middle letters, minyan choshech. The middle letters, so far we had the Rosh Tevis, the first letters and the last letters. The first letters equal gematria near Chanukah. The last letters spell chacham. The middle letters equal the gematria of choshech of darkness. Because it's the koach of the Ner Chanukah to cause the illumination to stir it up, to light it up, right? Chayish kamini chayshav erayish tevis mini Ner Chanukah va'ata havein, and you should understand this. Ki lo davar reku. This is not something. I like the way he ends it. Lo davar reik is an expression that means it's from the Torah that lo reku we can't be, but it means it's not something which is simple. Or empty, or silly, but I believe like that every word is meduik in the Bnei Sasker, and if he chose to end this piece with lo dover reiku, it's because he's saying that it's not, the jar of oil is not empty. It's just the way that he ends over here, he says, understand this, lo dover reiku, it is not empty. Meaning it's still not empty. And after all these years, Knesset Israel continues to have this core, continues to have this strength, to shine in the darkness. I don't think it's kedai to start the next piece, Mitzvah Hashem. Next week will be Chanukah. Yeah, next Monday night is already. Next Monday night will be Chanukah. Will be the second candle. So we'll continue, Mitzvah Hashem. There's plenty of time to come back after Chanukah lift. So we'll continue to learn on Chanukah from the teachings of the Bnei Sasku. We have to just stay from our for a few more minutes. Yeshkayach.